Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
There's 80 tents pitched along the Grand Canal in Dublin, and this is the number of people that have been camping along the canal. It's been growing now since the tents were moved from around the International Protection Office on Mount Street in Dublin City Centre just last week. But it would appear that quite a number of them have now been pitched along the Grand Canal in Dublin. What is the solution to this, though? Like, has anybody thoughts, ideas? Surely this isn't an ideal situation by any means at all. Labour Party Councillor Dermot Lacey is with us on the line today. Dermot, is this the sort of interim solution, or how do we solve this?
No, it's not a solution. It's not a solution for the people who are living in those awful conditions, and it's not a solution for the people who are living in the general, in the general area that are impacted by this. The solution is that the state starts to use the properties that the state currently owns to house people. Another thing that needs to be done is that IPASS needs to develop a more outreach service so that they will go out to the places where people are living in order to process these applications, rather than the really obscure thing of people feeling that they have to camp up right beside the IPASS office in order to have their application proceeded with. It is, in my view, a task that's too big for the current department that has responsibility. That department has many other responsibilities. And I think, and I've called for this morning, and indeed I've called a couple of times, I think the government needs to appoint a new ministry that will
another
have sole
responsibility.
No, if you just listen, let me finish. I think there needs to be a minister who's given a short-term authority and brief to deal with this particular issue. And, you know, I'm not going to start naming people who I think the Taoiseach should appoint, but there are a number of very senior former, in particular former Fine Gael ministers, who are sitting on the back benches, who I think would have the stature and the capacity to take this on, if you want, a last act of public service before they retire from the dole, that will allow Minister O'Gorman's department to get on with the other things in this brief and will give a sole focus to, as I said, a temporary minister, call him a czar, call him a chief, call him a leader. I don't really care what they're called, but somebody with authority needs to be appointed to grab this issue by the neck.
But sorry, Dermot, is Roderick O'Gorman not the Minister for Integration?
I think the problem is that, and this is no disrespect to Roderick O'Gorman, who I think is a very, you know, honourable individual. He's minister for about 10 different titles. I mean, somebody on another station told me the other day they couldn't even print all the names in his department's title on the screen under his name. He has to do other jobs. And his department is one of the newest departments in the state. It's the smallest department in the state. And a minister, the minister, like all other ministers, has a range of brief. That's why I think somebody of stature needs to be appointed on a very short-term basis and given the authority by Cabinet to deal with this issue. We can't, you know, allow a situation in which people are living in appalling conditions and the local community surrounding those people are living with the results of those appalling conditions. We're a modern, progressive country. We can do better. The premises are there. Within a couple of hundred yards of the canal, we have the old former Baggot Street Hospital lying empty for 10 years now as the HSE has allowed it to deteriorate. Why can that not be repurposed? Why can't, you know, Aldborough House on the north side of the city, it's privately owned, but it's been lying derelict for 20 or 30 years, be refurbished to tackle this problem? There are army barracks.
Would it tackle it, though? Like, would it tackle it when you think that there's, what, among 1,700 people currently looking for international protection at the moment, isn't it, without accommodation? Like, if there's 80 different tents pitched.
Yeah. We have to start, Andre, tackling the problem. You know, every journey starts with the first step.
Yeah, okay.
It's a fair point, Dermot. I'm not saying I have all the answers, and I don't have all the
answers. No, but I want to be solutions focused. And I'd like to hear from listeners today, because it isn't ideal for anybody, the fact that there is now 80 tents pitched along the Grand Canal in Dublin. And I'm sure there's safety concerns as well for those living in tents, you know, along the canal too. Let me bring in Michael Finlay, if you don't mind, Dermot, for a moment. But stay with us. Michael is from the Punnett on Lower Mount Street. Michael, you're a business owner in the area. Like, what solutions do you think the government needs to look at?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Yeah, Well, first and foremost, I think the solution that's been put forward thus far really doesn't cut the mustard. And people in the area, while they were relieved to have the operation undertaken on Wednesday to have the tents removed, we are concerned that really there was no forward planning from there. And they just seem to have shifted the problem from one area to the next. It's literally 100 metres down the road along the Grand Canal now. So the way I look at it is it's simply a numbers game, as you alluded to yourself. Even if we repurpose different properties around the country, I don't think we can sustain the numbers coming through. So somebody needs to get a hold of the situation and, you know, get a solution that's fair for both people living in the area and the people in the tents, because as it stands, it feels like there's they're neglecting their duty of care for both the residents in the area and the migrants in the tents. So as your previous caller, I don't pretend to have the solution.
No, what appear nobody does, though. I don't say that to, you know, to make light of any of the work that is being done. But like moving people last week from Mount Street in Dublin, not even a kilometre, maybe a kilometre up the road to the Grand Canal.
That was the issue. We were very happy that it had taken place, but there was a concern within the residents and the local businesses that what was going to happen after this. And the problem is there has been absolutely zero communication from the minister or from any of the government agencies that should be looking after this. And it's no good for the residents and it's no good for the men in the tents. So we are very concerned as to what will happen next, because the number of tents has already grown to over 80. Every day there are scores of people coming to the IPAS centre. So nothing has changed in that regard, and simply pushing them further and further down the road is not a solution.
Stay with us, if you don't mind, Michael, for a moment. I've Kevin Byrne. Dr. Kevin Byrne is a local resident in the area as well, and he's the chairperson of the South Georgian Core Residents Association. Just before we actually came on air today, I asked him what was his take on the situation.
So, yes, we very much welcomed the operation last Wednesday to clear the encampment that had been on Lower Mount Street for the last 14 months. But obviously, we're worried to see it reoccur so close, so soon afterwards on the Grand Canal. And it's been growing there for the last couple of days, which we would have predicted to happen once it got established. Again, we're kind of a bit worried that, you know, the interagency efforts that were there on Wednesday seem to have disappeared a bit at this point. So we're hoping that at least in the background, agencies are working together again. But the buck passing between agencies was a feature the last 14 months. And so we'd be concerned if that's coming back again at this point. So obviously it's a dreadful situation for the asylum seekers to find themselves in the tents, and throughout this, residents have felt for the situation they're in, but it's also having a huge impact on residents and businesses in the area. So we're disappointed to see a tent encampment reoccur so soon after the one that had been there on Mount Street was cleared.
Okay, that's Dr. Kevin Byrne there, local resident and chair of the South Georgian Core Residents Association. Green Party Councillor Hazel Chu is with us on the line as well. Hazel, what's the solution in your eyes?
Solution has been said by many of the speakers before. There needs to be cross-party and cross-agency work on this. And to Dermot's point, I don't think he's wrong. I think there does need to be one person under the department rather than a separate minister again. Because as we saw last week, when it's cross-agency, when it's coordinated, it works well. So there needs to be more of that. But the solution is more accommodation, and that's what we're seeking at the moment. The department did come out with, I don't speak for the department, but I know that they issued a statement in relation to more accommodation coming on this week and the following weeks. And the minister had issued a comprehensive accommodation strategy back in March. But what really is needed, as said by Kevin and Michael and Irma and myself, is that there needs to be cross collaboration on this. There needs to be teamwork on this, and that can work. Other departments need to weigh in, needs to be able to provide said accommodation as well. HSE, Baggot Street Hospital was mentioned, but there are other sites as well. There's over 166,000 vacant properties in Ireland. We can use them, and we should be across the board pushing to use them. So, and that doesn't sit just under the Department of Integration, unfortunately, it sits under the various other departments within government. So, but as a whole, I'd like to thank the volunteers on ground and the residents and the businesses. They've been working together trying to support this situation, and I know it is exhausting. So it's been good to see the support on ground, especially in the last couple of days as well, towards those that are sleeping in the tents.
But what's going to happen, Hazel? Because, you know, like, I get the sense that we saw last week in Mount Street, presumably, you know, people will be moved on, and there'll be this great interagency, you know, teamwork that you talked about, and people will be moved out of the Grand Canal in the way they were out of Mount Street just last week. But sure, there's just going to be another erection of 80 tents somewhere else.
But that's why you need more accommodation, and that's what we're looking for.
I know, but sure, we're talking about accommodation is an issue aside from this.
Yeah, there's been talk of accommodation, and now there's a strategy in towards getting accommodation. But there needs to be also interim accommodation, because I know Dermot spoke of having. No, we don't have interim accommodation. We need more interim accommodation. You had previously sites that were interim, and we used them last week. So there needs to be interim sites as well as a long-term strategy across the board.
Michael, what's the feeling among other business owners? I'm sure you've been talking to some of them in the area.
Yeah, they would all share the concerns that all of our listeners and speakers have shared there. And because I would say that this has been an ongoing issue on the street here for the past 12 to 16 months. We've had tents here for that period of time. So it's nothing new. So the concern now is only a few days after, you know, what was I would have assumed was a very thorough government operation, there are 70, 80 tents lined up again. So we're struggling to have faith in the relevant authorities to take ownership of the situation as it stands and, you know, really come up with a proper solution.
Like, one of the main concerns, Dermot, I think of a lot of people, and whether that be business owners or residents in the area, is that, like, we're really on the cusp of nearly starting to see something similar to shanty towns emerge.
Yeah, I think that's a very dangerous thing, and I think that's something that people have a right to be worried about. But, you know, all of this highlights the lack of joined up thinking in a whole range of government services and state bodies. In a modern, progressive, rational country, responding to this would be a matter for local government. But the state has withdrawn most of the powers available to local government in the past to deal with this. And I think it was Hazel who said, this is all wrapped up in the sort of overall housing crisis that's facing the country. We need to take these issues as a matter of urgency, or there will be the development of far worse protesters and campaigners in Irish society than we've seen in the past. I don't want to see that happen. And I think the state is, you know, enabling the growth of unhelpful and unhealthy campaigning by allowing the situation to develop. As Hazel said earlier, we do have a huge number of empty properties in this. And quite frankly, I believe it's time for the Department of Integration and the Department of Housing and Local Government to really get up and deliver what is possible to deliver. This is not an enormous crisis. This is about 8,000 people, roughly 8,000 people. We can deal with this crisis if we seriously try. And that's why I do believe we need to have an accountable leader at the top to deal with this. And that's why I think the idea of having a sort of senior civil servant heading up this process is not good enough. They are not accountable to the Parliament, to the Dáil. And I think we need to have a senior political figure given the task of leading the response and given the authority by the government to take the necessary measures to deal with it. And, you know, let's look at the state properties we have and start using them. It's shameful. They're all over the country.
Okay.
Empty former hospitals, former schools, you know, former office blocks that are there. Let's start using them.
Okay.
It's a crisis.
So some of the messages coming in from listeners today, and I, as I said, I wanted to get the views of lots of different people. Listener says, it's a genuine question. Must the asylum seekers accept the accommodation they're offered? And if they can refuse, why is that allowed? Surely if you're seeking housing, you should accept what the state has available. Do you have the answer to that question, Dermot?
I don't, but I would apply the same rule as applies to local authority housing. In local authority housing, you get 3 offers. And if you don't accept the third one, certainly in Dublin City Council, you go further down the list. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not trying to guess 5-star accommodation for everybody. I'm trying to see ordinary human beings who are fleeing far worse situations in their home countries to be accommodated in a reasonable and fair manner. That's not too much to ask in one of the richest countries in the
listener
world.
Listener says, easy, just start deporting failed applicants. Perhaps that might free up some spaces. Another texter, there's 80 tents in Dublin. It's an absolute laugh. I'm Italian. We now have shanty towns around our cities. We've had illegal immigration for years and I know firsthand how bad this can get. Minister O'Gorman will solve nothing from Leinster House. This is an EU issue that needs to be solved at source, from the shores where immigrants are effectively being tracked into Europe, just according to one listener there today. Maeve has got in touch. She says, Dublin is full of empty buildings, including Bagot Street Hospital. There is no shortage of accommodation. Also, what about all of the prospective accommodation around the country that has been purposely burnt down? Nobody has mentioned that yet, according to Maeve. Keep your thoughts coming into us. 087 1400 106 is the number. Do you know what? I'm actually going to go down to the Grand Canal today in Dublin, and I want to see it for myself, these 80 tents that are there and around, and talk to people if they'll chat to us and see what the situation is like. I actually, you know, in listening to people describe it, and yes, I've seen videos and I've seen footage online and all of that, but I'm actually going to go down today after the show, and I'll tell you how we get on tomorrow on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.